Hello, welcome to Christian Men's Podcast. I'm joined with Ken, and this is Paul speaking, and we are going over the topic of the weight of worry and examining the world through the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. So here I'm joined with Ken. I'd like to pass it off and to get us introduced into this. And what are your thoughts and what are some questions and where would you like to go?
Ecclesiastes show that certain paths in life lead to emptiness. This profound book also helps us discover true purpose in life, such as wisdom can be spared us from the emptiness that results from a life without God. Solomon teaches that people will not find meaning in life through knowledge, money, pleasure, work, or popularity. True satisfactions come from knowing that what we are doing is part of God's purpose for our life. This is a book that can help free us from scrambled for power, approval, and money, and draw us closer to God. So my question is, first off, why is this so important, Paul?
Right. It's important because a lot of times we're caught up in life, and life sometimes has a lot of different directions it wants to throw us in. So being that, we need to understand, okay, in the context of God, what's important, what is temporary, and what's eternal? Because we have to seek the things that are internal. Because if we are setting ourselves on temporary fixations, temporary problems, temporary solutions, we're going to be caught in a way that is leading life into basically a hamster wheel, so to say, because it's going to keep on cycling over and over again. It could be generational. It could be the century. It could be Groundhog Day for all we know. So with that, you know, let's look at chapter one of Ecclesiastes. We'll start off verse one. We'll read off just a little bit. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil of which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind on its circuits and winds returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. And to the place where the streams flow, they flow again. So we see into this that this is not obviously not a science book. We're obviously seeing here that the Bible is going and describing to us life. Life on a charted path of time. And with this time, how should we go about it? And what is there for us to gain into this? Will we gain a lot from toiling? Will we gain a lot from just being able to see where this goes from here to there? No. At the end of the day, we have to be wise to all of the things. Because if we are seeking the things that are building up our esteem, building up our collections, building up the things that are just basically in a way that will eventually be not there at the end of times, we got to go and focus on, well, if there's nothing there at the end of times, what will there be? And the answer is Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit and heaven and unfortunately hell at the end of this. And this we have to kind of see, okay, with those in focus, how do we lead lives in a way that is not burdensome to ourselves day after day? So back to you, Ken. What are your thoughts?
You know, I be honest with you, I didn't know too much about this book until you were talking about it. I learned a lot from it by reading it for the past couple of weeks. It basically is teaching us that, you know, the world is empty. You might think being popular is the most important thing, having money, having all this stuff. But guess what? We can't carry that with us. We can't take that. When we die, we don't attach a U-Haul truck to the casket. We can't take it. We pass it on. So what we have to remember that we can't just be empty and just have a shallow life. We need God in our life to fulfill our life and to have actually purpose in our life to do good for other people, just like the way God wants us to.
Amen, Ken. And again, let's go actually to chapter three. Let's read a little bit from that. I'm going to read from the beginning, middle, and the end, so to say. So some of the parts we see, you know, for everything, there's a season, A time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to be plucked up from what was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. We're seeing that there are times, and that obviously there is a function that God says, okay, we still have things to do. There are still going to be the processes of life, and that life will go on. And so there will be a time for everything. So let's do it in an appropriate way. So in other words, don't waste your time in things that are not appropriate. If you have a time to heal, don't go out and try to heal yourself by doing casting away stones or keeping silent in a different and a wrong way. You need to make sure that you're doing it in a very matter-of-fact way that goes and helps out. So then we also will see, you know, what is there some of the tests for us? And so what, verse 9, what gain has a worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he put eternity in a man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, everyone should eat and drink and take pleasures in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So it's not all negative. You know, when we think Ecclesiastes, oh, like, oh no, this is the burden of life. We have this flesh and we want to make sure we're not getting into the Gnostic situation, you know, where God made us in a way that was absolutely not able to be an imager of him. We need to absolutely realize that there is a flesh that we do have to live with this. And it is absolutely something that is here with us at this time. And we don't need to go into a pathway where it's absolutely accursed. You know, we need to understand that God is that salvation. God is our solution. His ways should be our ways, and we should walk into them. And yes, our flesh does make us tumble along those lines, but do realize that it's okay for us to eat. It's okay for us to take pleasure in this toil to an extent. And we need to see that there is a point and a level where it says, you know, remember the idea, all in moderation? That's that, you know, stay away from your temptations. Do what you can in moderation. Make sure that you're doing things that is right. You know, we have to make sure that we're doing things that are just, make sure we're doing things in the context of our neighbors. You know, we have to, again, remember to honor our neighbors in these times. And if we're doing that, it's going to make it a lot easier to go forth day to day, making sure that we're keeping our hearts in guard, you know, after God. Because if we don't guard our hearts in this way, you know, we're going to be going after the vanity. We're going to go after these situations where it's just going to be a slippery slope. It'll be chasing something that's unable to be grasped, because end of the day, it will become dust. We need to grab onto the thing that is eternal, because end of the day, what's going to be there with us? It's going to be our brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven. So, you know, grab onto us. We have a church for a reason, and that church shall be together. It should be a community. It should be fostering up good values. It should be fostering into good charity. It should be fostering in just awesome ways to be, you know, and that's what you like to see. Some more thoughts from you, Ken.
We're all trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're all trying to have, you know, a car comes out, the latest computer, the latest phones that are out there. We're always chasing it, but those stuff are meaningless. I could look in my my garage right now, and I could see a bunch of phones that I needed to have back then, and they are absolutely paperweights right now. Those things are useless. What we have to do is we have to do stuff that is meaningful. Serve around your community. Help the homeless. Be able to leave your mark on the good character rather than what you buy. So what do you think, Paul?
No, I agree. Like that's wonderful points, because, you know, if we're looking at this in a way that's basically guilt, it's not the book of guilt. I mean, that's as simple as that, because, you know, there is a way through Christ through all things, and he leads us to these good, right ways. He leads us to calm waters, leads us to still pastures. He leads us to these things that are just, you know, that are right about him. And, you know, again, we want to seek after things that are the fruit of him. You know, it comes back to this. So like, how do you leave, you know, a life? We got to look towards the fruit. We got to look towards the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the peacemaking, and look back to Beatitudes, right? Go back to Matthew and read through all those, concentrate on those. You know, so it's, a lot of times we're always focusing on like, how can I correct myself? Correct, 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 correct. And, you know, how can I guilt myself because I feel so ashamed? And a lot of times, you know, maybe we'll do another episode is on the burden of guilt. And that's the situation. We got to realize, like, if we're not moving in a positive way, we're just weighing ourselves down. We're making a heavy, heavy yoke on us. And that's going to be more disabling. And if we're disabled, how are we going to help one another? And that's the big thing. God calls us for us to be basically sanctified, and we're going to go through that process. And that process is not instantaneous. No one goes through baptism, instantly comes out, wow, every single thing is gone and I'm absolutely perfection. I am now God. You know, it doesn't happen that way. You know, it's God showed us through Jesus Christ how it is. And yes, we ought to change our lives. We ought to align ourselves with God. We ought to do these things, but things come in seasons. And that's the big part that we see in Ecclesiastes: time, season, place. How is it appropriate? How does it line up with the word? How do we seek wisdom? I mean, even then, we even talk about, like, we're always talking about we need to gain wisdom, gain wisdom, gain wisdom. And I mean, there's even a point where, you know, Ecclesiastes even talks about wisdom, like, for much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases in sorrow. It's not easy getting wiser. And, you know, it's one of the situations as you see these things. Yeah, I always look at this, my situation, as I learn more and more about tougher people's situations, it makes it hard, because you learn the different ways you go about this. And it's hard and rough to see the ways people have to go through. I mean, it's a tough life out there. But I mean, end of the day, you and I, we will return dust to dust at the end of the day. We all have the same breath. We're all imbued with the same life from God. So we're all going to be going before the same judge. And we need to realize, okay, you know, he's not going to go and see how many McDonald's we've built. He's not going to see how many, you know, how nice the grass was outside, you know, but he's going to see, and I think this is a way, he sees the character of us. And our character should definitely be imaging after him. Because if we're imaging after our own selves, it's going to be a rough place. We're not going to find, I put it this way, we're not going to find the steady stone to sit on. We're going to find a lot of sand. We're going to find a lot of rocky places. And we go and do that, it's going to be hard and tough to kind of get up, you know. And so for the situation, you know, something else I like to think about this, you know, it says this: wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Again, even then, that's right there. We even see that from, actually, that's what chapter is. That's chapter 7. Yeah, chapter 7. We can see this is right here, that God realizes that there is a man who will fall before. And just like every one of the other biblical characters, we have Moses, we have David, we have Solomon, we have almost every single one has some point where there is Saul. I mean, there are bad situations they go through, even after going through and being built up. And, you know, they're increasing wisdom, they're increasing in leadership, they're increasing through, you know, they have these amazing gardens, all these things. And we're just going and seeing, wow, okay, they can have all this, they can gain all these things, they can lead a life that they have the books of the Bible literally written after them, right? And you literally have them writing it, but they still go through tough spots. They still go through these situations. They still go through the tears of life. They still go through the seasons. So a lot of times I know we like to make, you know, obviously the biblical characters superheroes, but we need to bring it back to reality. Their breath is the same breath that we breathe. It's going to be the same air. It's going to be the same life. It's going to be the same to judge. We're still going to be going to a point where we inherit the same spot. Should which one we choose, obviously. So we want to go with the Lord or go against the Lord. And we have to consider these things. And I think the biggest word to all this, I think Ecclesiastes, instead of it being like so like against vanity, I think I can summarize in this: have you considered? And I think that's one of the biggest words, just simple as that. Have you considered the time you've spent? Have you considered the way you've been? Have you considered the things you go after? I think it's the book of considerations in a way, because it's going and seeing, okay, here are these ways of wisdom. Here are these ways of understanding. Here are these faults you go under. Consider these. Look at these. Meditate on them. And we go through these considerations, we get more developed, because the more developed we're going through life, the better we are. Not for ourselves. We shouldn't just do it for the betterment of ourselves. We have to better ourselves for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because there's still going to be generations. It's here to come. If it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. But God goes and doesn't make us live in a way that we can actually truly understand what's exactly going to happen. He really has made it so absolutely all of just encompassing time is his to understand. But for us, we get a brief brief glimpse of it. And God knows what's coming up. So let's put more rest in the hymn and take more consideration to his word.
So Paul, I got a question for you. What is, I saw on the, in the book, Hevel mentioned 38 kinds within the book as a metaphor. What does it mean?
Yeah, we have to basically see, you know, at the very basics, Hevel is basically vapor or smoke. Think of it in a way that is unable to really grasp, is hard to grasp onto, is one of these situations where I think in a way it's kind of like breath and also nonsense too. Like, so with this, we want to see what are the temporary, what is the fleetingness, like what is the things that go up. Maybe a way to kind of see it in an actionable way is if something you were to be burning away and you were to be trying to grasping at smoke, it's going to squish out your hands. It's never going to be conforming to it. And it's going to show basically how life is not as, how do I put it, uniform as one would think. It is stirring. It is moving. It is going. It's rising up. And, you know, it's where we have to go and see, okay, this is what we need to understand with life, that life is not as direct as we think it is. And we shouldn't be counting our days and basically thinking we know what it is, you know, because there could be basically like you're chasing the wind at this point. It's just like you imagine yourself out in the desert and you're like, okay, I need to go grab me some hevel. It'd be like, I don't know, snipe hunting, you know, if you know about that. But the idea is like, okay, I'm going to go find me some hevel. You're not going to really find it. You're going to feel it. It's going to be around you, but you're really going to be leading yourself into kind of quite a bit of circles. But again, it kind of goes together with all this. And it's also sort of the, so to say, the breath of life also, to kind of also examine it that way. So it's, there's a point where it's saying that this is true. It is real and it does exist, but just very much as you're breathing in and out, we don't know which way it's going to go. We can try to push it out a certain way, but in life, we don't know what wind's going to come next.
Ask you a question, but I'm going to give you my answer first, because basically my question is going to be, what did you gain the most out of this book? My answer is, and they're feeling empty inside. They try to surround themselves with money to think they're going to be happy. That doesn't help. They're going to think fame does it. It doesn't help. They're try to go with alcohol, drug, to have that feeling of emptiness to go away. And you know what? With this book, it just kept on going and going and going. He didn't feel fulfilled until he found Christ. And that's what we got to remember is a character, not just at church, but outside. We have to be a good role model where 24/7. And it's not a bad thing. It's such a beautiful thing, because that will radiate whatever you do. And I notice that a lot with my 25-year-old son right now, is the things that I'm doing positive. I don't, this comes natural to me, but I see him, I'm seeing him growing and maturing, a man of God. And I see him going and doing things that are like the other day, there's this lady, he had a couple bucks left in it. And he gave it to her. That is what we have to do. So what did you gain the most out of this book, Paul?
You know, I like to, there's a lot of different famous finance people out there always telling you how to save your money, how to spend your money, how to guard your money, how to invest your money, et cetera. I think chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes kind of does it. I'm going to read a little bit from it and then I'm going to apply it. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know what not disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in a place where the trees fall, there it will lie. He observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what way the spirit comes to the bones of the womb of a woman and a child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. And the sorrow, so in the morning sow your seed, and at the evening withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or like both alike will be good. Light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes in vanity. Rejoice, O young men, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. The big part for me in seeing this with chapter 11 is God's about you making investments. Instead of it being financial investments along those lines, the biggest part and the most basics and the come to the training wheels of being a Christian is, again, you putting on those times where you're going to grow the fruits that he puts out there for us to go and do. And so one of the biggest investments, I'd say, you know, find a way to be kind, find a way to be merciful, find a way to give grace, find a way to make peace. And with all these things, you're going to invest into these heavily, steadily, and the way God does it is going to be up to him. It's going to be from the church around us. It's going to be through the word. It's going to happen. And God knows who you are and what leader you're going to be. Because I think every one of us is leaders. And sometimes it's the smallest things. We could be leaders and just simply smiling. And that's something we don't realize. It's like, okay, you know, how do we make this day go through in a way that's better for others? And the key part is he's saying, you know, we don't know what's going to turn up. So make sure that when you're going and do these things, it's not to say spread yourself thin, but it is saying, hey, look, when you go and cast your breads out in the waters, the idea is you're going to want to give yourself in a way that is wide, and you're going to want to give yourself in a way that is able to make sure that we are encompassing maybe 7 or 8 different things. So like, make sure it's like, okay, in your heart, you know, we can develop and just refine our ways and walk with God. Like, maybe it might be going to a soup kitchen. Maybe it might be getting some clothes for single parents. Maybe it might be going and helping those in assisted living facilities. Maybe it might be doing prison ministry. I mean, there's a lot of different applications. I think, you know, if I had to say, like, you know, some people need action. You know, we listen to you and I can talk about, you know, our thoughts on these things, but let's just do some action with this one. Write down 8 things you can do that could actually help your neighbor and align with the characters of God. You know, seeing, you know, what is fruitful? What is love? What is that's going to hold up truth? What is going to make sure that we are absolutely defending justice, you know, but in a way that is absolutely not making us a clambering symbol. So invest into these ways so we can make sure that we are investing into the kingdom of God, because, you know, God's not looking for, you know, how nice the air conditioning would be in church on Sunday. You know, he's looking at, you know, is that person, even though it's hot, going to still smile at that one person who's never come to church? Even though you're hot and it's a hard time, you know, we got to make sure that we're, again, seeing the heaval of life into all these situations and knowing that there is you can't really grasp onto it. So throw out these good things. Know and trust God's going to bring the things that are good up. And just don't lose faith. That's a big part of it too. When you're investing a lot in the God, remember you got someone else who likes to take away, who likes to tax that. And that kind of tends to be Satan and people who want to do Satan's work. And, so don't get too dismayed when a tax person comes, so to say. And let's just say what's due to him will become due to him through judgment, and let that be God. You know, so when our brothers come against us in these situations, find forgiveness for them. You know, we have to make sure that we are just absolutely focused and not the Dave Ramsey situation in our life, but the, okay, how can we be more effective in charity? How can we be more effective in love? And how can we do this in a way that is, we're not lying to ourselves, not calling for people to be disingenuous to themselves, but do it from a simple smile to a person that's in the store, to a nice handshake, to checking up on a brother that needs it. You know, just making sure that we're building ourselves with this, because a lot of today is a lot of commercials that are basically saying you need more and that you're not enough. But know through Jesus Christ, you are enough. And that when you go and realize that life's falling away and that the real investments are the eternal ones, make sure that you're going out and casting your spread in a good way.
Amen, Paul. You know what? That was very uplifting. You know, it was making me think about this. There's this one time that I was at work and there was this homeless lady. She was like down and out and all. She just passed by and I would just say, "How's your day? How you doing?" You know what? That just little kindness of just talking to her made her day. And she just said, "You know what? Thank you, sir." I said, "I appreciate you just listening to me. People judge me because I'm all dirty and all that. They just think they don't want to talk with me." Sometimes just listen to someone, to have a conversation with someone. There's a bunch of homeless shelters, especially in these days and age. There's a lot of people that are having a hard time. And sometimes they just need some love from a brother or a sister. So with that, we need to wrap this up. People are still searching, yet more they try to get, the more they realize how little they really have. No pressure or happiness is possible without God. Without Him, satisfaction is a lost search. Above everything else, we should strive to know and love God. He gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Thank you for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. God bless you all and see you next time.